Amen and amen and amen and amen. Let's just take us just a few minutes. I want to drive you into some deep waters tonight. Very, very briefly, because tomorrow is Sunday and I don't want to take more time today. But just to take you through a few things. Yes. The choir should just occupy all the seats around so that, yes. Let me first say some things to you. You know, this season, God has sent in a lot of angels into, yeah, brother, don't sit at the back too far. You know, there are some seats in the middle here. Yes, bring your chair, carry it. Yes. One day I was preaching Therefore, town hall. And I move about usually when I preach. And while I was moving about, I stopped in the aisle like this, and a woman was sitting on my left. And little did we know, the woman had suffered from an issue of blood for many years. She bled. She was from the Braithwaite family. And she had gone everywhere, you know, manners of things. And she refused to serve God because everywhere she went, they said he needed deliverance and they did all manners of gymnastics and nothing happened. So she got fed up. So, but on this day, her brother came in contact with me and went home and said, look, I met a man. You need to come. And after a lot of arguments, she said, okay, if I go to this one and it's like others, forget about God with me forever. And he said, I guarantee you, when you go to this one, you start serving God. So she was sitting down, very skeptical. You know, people like that, anything you say, they read meaning to it. They have judged you before you start. And then God suddenly moved me towards the section. And as I was standing and preaching, suddenly something came out of my body like a mission of light. And it went, and I saw it. Pastor Emmanuel saw it and hit the woman. And I continued to preach, and the woman started slumping to the ground from her seat, like she was collapsing, and she crashed to the floor. And I kept on preaching. Because, you see, when the word of God is going on, anything that happened is not the business of the one who preaches. God happened, so God will take care of himself. And we don't try to help God in anything at all, because we have no glory in whatever he does. And so I kept preaching, and then another 30 minutes, I finished my message, and she was still on the floor. She tried to get up. She was like a drunken woman. The case of the woman is interesting because when she came in, she came in early, you know, and she, about 30 minutes before, and then a few minutes before the meeting, she went to the ladies to check her pad. Because if she puts on a pad, after a short while, the pad will become very soaked. She will go out again. And so she wanted to be sure that that pad will last her for the meeting. So when she went out, it was a new pad. She put in a few minutes and the pad was soaked, but it was not very soaked. It has blood about one quarter soaked. She said, okay, now I can still stay for another 2 hours and everything will be soaked and then I'll take it out. So we finished. Everybody said the grace and gone. This woman remained on the floor. And so we sat down. That when this one come back, she will tell us what she saw. Amazingly, she got up, her eyes closed. She looked at everybody around and she ran to the toilet. So I asked from the brother, what's the matter with your sister? She said, I don't know. When she got to the toilet, she said she felt light underneath instead of wet. Because when she got up, she said she felt so terrible that, oh, I must have been very wet now. But she tried herself and saw that, what's happening here? When she brought the pad out of her, it's not only that her bleeding stopped, the blood that was stained on the pad vanished. The blood vanished. She screamed. She, you know, a woman like that, she ran out with everything. Everybody. She screamed with that stuff. She said that this is what she was telling everybody. This is what happened to me. This is what Jesus have done. This is where I've gone. This is where I've gone. God will do greater things to you tonight. I went to Butte. Butte. We had a program along Southwest England ablaze, and we found the tape of that meeting. A man hosted me in Butte. A proper Englishman. You know, a proper Englishman does everything by proof. And he hosted me. He was an evangelical. I was a Baptist pastor, so I understand. So when we were in his house, you know, he was asking me many questions about miracles. And I said to him that, yes, you know, Jesus still does miracles. Like this miracle you're talking about in the Bible, I will analyze it, help him understand what happened, why did Jesus do it and stuff. And I said to him that he can do it to you too. He said, oh, no, Alfred, forget about that. I am a Christian, but I don't believe in miracles anymore. I said, is that? He said, yes. He said, here in Cornwall, we've never seen miracle. And the whole of Devonshire, we never seen miracle. But you know, there, they have seen miracles of witches. Because what brought us there was that the witches went to the church, Anglican church, and they put blood at the entrance. And all the parishioners ran away, including the priest. And so the priest was discussing with another evangelical priest who was my son then, from Ephraim. And he said, oh, I have a spiritual father in London. His father was a wizard. Oh, he said, he's now a minister of God. Yes. He said, yes, he can deal with it. And he said, yes, he can deal with it. I would go tell him. And he came and told me, I said, okay, let's go there. So when we got there, you know, and this man hosted me, the first day we went to the church, they got to the church. I said, oh, this is the church. The blood was there. You know, the blood had been there for more than 6 months. Nobody washing the place. I just opened the door and said, everybody get inside. And he said, no, don't touch it. Said, don't touch what? Blood of what? What's it? What blood is there? I said, okay, get me water. Let me worship because of you. Because if I was you, I would be worshiping with the blood in the front of the church. Then they brought water, we cleaned it, went into the church. I said, okay, now take me to the witches too. We have to go and put the blood of Jesus in their own place too. Say, you go to the witches? Yes, we will go. We went to the witches and I lay hands on all the covens there, 12. And I cursed the spirit there to be removed. The man went with me. But he did not believe anything I said would happen. He just went. So after doing all those gyms, we now came into the service to do service. And the man was in the meeting, you know, with people. He's just happy that the preacher stays in my house. I'm the one hosting Alfred, you know. Little did I know that she was born without scrotum. He has scrotum bag, but he never has scrotum. And because of that, he was married, but he could not impregnate his wife. Neither could he function well as a man. So he was registered handicapped. And then the Holy Spirit said that a man is in this meeting who was born without scrotum. He couldn't tell me, you know. And the Holy Spirit wanted to mess him up. And he said, you receive it now in the name of Jesus. And he shouted, yeah! Oh, la, la! He shouted, yeah! Because instantly he felt boom underneath him. He ran. He ran. He screamed and he ran. I said, what's going on here? He said, it's me. I said, Frank, you? He said, yes. I said, Frank, do you believe in miracle now? Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Why am I telling you this? I told the brother that I want him to come nearer. I always love to be nearer to people. Because when the power of God moves, he hits you first in the distance. What I've been sharing with you, and I will just talk to you right now, and I think the reason why I'm telling you this testimony is for two things. One, for you to know what God will do for you, and two, for you to know what God will do through you. This is a new era upon the face of the earth. So many angels have been sent upon the earth, especially the troubled spots, all the areas of Syria and the areas of Libya and the areas of Iran and UK and America now, because of the end time agenda. Have you recognized the fact that God is now causing the philosophy of man to fail? All right? And the expectation of man did not go according to what they expected. So every statistic failed, every philosophy failed, every psychological failed, every political correctness and incorrectness failed. And God is beginning to shake the reliance of man so that man will acknowledge God as the ultimate. So what man believed can never work, it will begin to work. Contrary to their thoughts. What man thought that if we address it, the whole world will go infernal, it will be addressed and be dealt with and there will be no problem anywhere. These people that God is replacing, it is God who is putting men on the thrones, because God is preparing, gathering the storm for the end time. So God spoke to me and revealed to me that in this time, therefore, there'll be more chaos upon the face of the earth. All right? More confusion. But to those who are God's people, you'll be having download, you'll be downloading information from heaven. You know, it says in the book of Isaiah, I think it says, arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Yes. And then he went further to say, darkness covers the deep and thick darkness over the peoples. All right. Then he says, but the glory resides upon you. So when do we know that this scripture will come to pass? It is when darkness covers the earth, which is a cloud of confusion, and thick darkness over their people. So when darkness covers the earth, it means that the government of the earth will be so darkened, they'll be confused. But then thereafter, the people under them, very confused. Brexit, 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 trouble waters. Prime Minister does not have the answer because he don't even know what Brexit means. All those who are in the parliament are confused. Those who have a clue of what Brexit can cause are being marginalized. And the media were instrumental to selling lies to the people to push them to where God wants the country to be so that there'll be chaos upon the nation. This scripture come to pass. Look at America. America is not strange to those of you in Christ with Tabernacle, because when Obama was going to come in, God told me, I was in my office when some people called me and said that we are coming to London this week, can we come and meet you? I said, what is it about? They said, oh, well, you know, we want to come and meet you to pray concerning this young man, Obama. And it wasn't popular. And he came to my office. One of them was a congressman, and by the approval of the leader of the Black Congress. And they said to me that, you know, people are not really accepting this young man, but this is the man that have been presented. Will he win? And I prayed. And God told me that he will win, and he will rule for 2 terms. And then God said, look at the one that will take over from him. A man who is not a politician. He brushes his hair to the back. The Lord said he will show them pepper. And the Lord said that this is the one I've appointed for now, but by the time he will leave, economy of America will be totally you know, terrible. And so the next man who will come will decide to focus on the inside of America. He will not be interested in fighting war. He will be interested in just helping the Americans to come back to their faith. And God spoke many more things about him. So I called my friends in America. I said that, look, you guys support, you can't support Obama, but Obama is going to win because I am a Republican. I think. Because Republicans are, Republicans, they are supposed to be Christian party. Conservative party was established as the church party. The word conservative means to conserve the ethics and the godliness and the culture of the Bible. That's what conservatism means. Same thing Republican means. But you know, they said to me that, so are you supporting Democrat? I said, no. God told me the guy will win. So you better just back off. And about a week or two after, the opinion poll started changing and then he won. Same thing with this time. I called them and told them, look, this man that you are seeing, you know, people are waging war against him. He's going to rule America. If you don't vote for him, angels will put him there. Because God had determined and it cannot be changed. So all my folks in America went to the college poll, and then they all approved of him and supported him. As I move close to him so that you can have part in his operations. Now the man is on the throne. And if you look at his language, it's different to everybody's language. Because thick darkness will be over the peoples. England, we took Brexit. And after we took Brexit, all of us who voted Brexit now are afraid. Yes? Oh, they thought it will be good for us. But what is this for us? The people who said vote Brexit, they went to them and said that now what next? They say, I don't know where I'm coming from. Neither do I know where I'm going to. Because the Bible says darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the people. Well, where are we in this agenda? It says, but there is a but in this season. The but is for you and I. But means exclusion from the prevailing condition. The but is the glory of God appears. Now what that means is that when you see darkness over the nations and thick darkness over the people, then behold the glory appearing. This is the reason why those who call themselves Christians today must be serious. Or else you won't hear. You won't see, you won't know. You just be going to church, like I said, according to my mother tongue, bunduku, and then go back, bunduku. That will not be your portion. You are never going to be in the diary of bundukus. What does bunduku means? You come to service, you sit down, you shout, you scream, you sing, or even sometimes they are praying, you are looking. Hello? And at the end of the day, you say grace. You had nothing, either from the spoken word or from the revealed word. Okay? This era, the glory appears. It takes men and women who will connect with the glory to see the glory. I was, before we went to Israel, a sister came to me in London. I said, Apostle, I've just been sacked by my office. An accountant, she's doing internship to become a qualified accountant, okay? She had her master's, then she's doing ACA. She finished some part, I think she has the last part to do. And they sacked her. You know, whether it's KPMG, I think it's KPMG. So when they sacked her, as a professional now, how can she complete her profession? That is, for lawyer, it is like when you have the training contract and they sack you from training contract. That's the end of it. So when she said to me, Apostle, this will happen. I said, they sacked you. She said, okay, kneel down, let me pray for you. And I spoke over her. Having spoken over her life, I said, don't worry, everything is all right, okay? Say, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I went. When I went to Israel, her director called the director of Barclays Bank and recommended her to Barclays Bank. Okay? So she went, they called her to come and do an interview. She went and did the interview. Two other big accounting firms, the director called their directors and told them about her. They called her for an interview. And then suddenly, the same company, KPMG, in Jersey, called her and said, we want to employ you at the same role so that you can finish your internship in Jersey. We will pay for your course, but we will not attach your job with failure or pass. So it means that you will continue as an accountant until you pass your examination, then we qualify you. But we won't sack you because you didn't pass. He said, I thought they didn't know that I failed. He said, yes, we know that you failed, but this is what we are offering you. And they sent her the contract. So she brought the contract to me this week and said, shall I sign it? Because they gave her up to Monday. No, Tuesday. So she saw me. No, they gave her up to Wednesday. She saw me on Tuesday. Of course, what did I say? Sign it. She doesn't want to leave my environment. You know, and I understand that. She's so used to me. Dad, I don't want to leave you. I don't know what I'm meeting, Jesse. And I said to her, go to Jesse. But adventure through you, you will be the Lydia that God will use for this work in Jesse. But you will also be with me. Every overcomer should come home. When we are doing program live, you watch it. God has a mission for you in Jesse. How many years remaining for her to qualify? 1.5 years. She has done 1.5 years already. Now, that is how God can override the natural condition so that the will of God will prevail. But that must be a person who connects with heaven. All right? At this time, you cannot be distracted by anything in your life. Let me ask you something. If a person has God as his friend, who controls yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All right? And God has given you career. Yeah? So what else should you do? Serve him fully. Because he will take care of tomorrow. He will take care of tomorrow. So what God is saying to us in this season is, we need to know that this is end time. But I close with this, which I started with you here yesterday, and I've studied in London. Because of this, what am I saying? You are not an ordinary child. Begin to see yourself as a special person. That's what you really are. Look, if Prince William will walk into this hotel, okay, from the door, something will happen. If his car just parked around the corner and he just walked in, and you begin to see people say, in another sense, is that Prince William? He looks like him. He looks like him. And as he walks in, you know, and he goes to the counter, suddenly you just saw some men with earphone walked in and they began to walk around the whole place. Oh, he's Prince Williams. And then the one at the counter, yes, can I help you, sir? Well, I'm sure you know me. Oh, Prince, how are you, sir? How are you, sir? Say, yes, I'm fine. Can we have a room in this place? The manager will say, the room is available. If there is no room, they will make one available. Because if they publish here that Prince Williams stayed in room 702. Everybody will want to book room 702. Yeah, people in this country believe that if I can sleep on the same bed with Prince William, I will get some grace. More than that are you. The only difference is that those who testify about you are invisible. They are angels of God. They are angels of God. Listen to me. Anywhere you go, they are there. Look at this. Let me just read the scriptures to you a few. Acts chapter 7, verse 17. I've explained the preamble to you yesterday. It says, as the time drew near for God to fulfill the promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. This is a time of church increase, convert increase. I explained a lot about it yesterday. The increase of Christianity all over the whole world. This is a time for that. Explosion in the church. Then it says, verse 18, note, brother. He said, then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler over Egypt. He dealt treacherously with all our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they will die. Okay? At that time, Moses was born and he was no ordinary child. That's where God gave me the message. You are not ordinary child. That's the reason why ordinary child, you know, you are born in trouble. It's the trouble time that God born you. You are born in the period of chaos and confusion. Ordinary children are not born normal. And they are not born in normal circumstances. If you look at Gideon was born when Israel was so much oppressed. Samson was born when Israel had been oppressed for 14 good years. When Jesus was born, Herod went after him to kill him. Having been waited for over 4,000 years, he arrived and Herod went to kill him. But you see, something super ordinary with children that are not ordinary is that God always rescues them. He will rescue you. You know, things don't work ordinarily for super ordinary children. Their life don't go the way the life of everybody goes. Okay? It will seem as if they are working normally. But when God will manifest in that normal operation, it will be supernatural manifestation. That it will single them out. People will be wondering, what's the matter with you? You know, it's God. It is impossible for that not to happen to a child of God. Are you with me now? That story I showed you yesterday, when Moses was born, he was put in the sea and then the mother left him. So a child of God that is not ordinary, you must pass through a period of abandonment. That you'll be abandoned in life. Okay? But something about him was that the mother gave up hope because God did not allow this river to carry him into the middle of the sea. He was just going on the shore. And God used the river to carry him to the very house where they have to raise him. You know, let me say this to those of you who have just come. Why could a woman see a child on this river? And that child became the crown child. This is it. Pharaoh worshiped the sea. As far as the woman is concerned, she saw a child, the river brought the child, no human being. She went to the river not just to bathe. That same river she worshipped, Nile. So when she brought a child home, all the people who are servants took a mystery child from the river. That child belonged to God. In their own mind, the God of the river. So when they brought him home, they'll be worshiping him. Because this is the visibility of the invisible that they have been worshiping. He came from the Nile. So automatically, he earns respect by every priest. And you know those priests are liars. They'll begin to even lie concerning him and use him to take money. Yeah. Because out of the river came the child. Can you see how wonderful God is that the vehicle that Satan prepared to destroy him, God took him right to the midst of him, of that vehicle, to raise him to destiny. That's what God does all the time. That's what he does. You know, so when I talk to you, you know, God's people, I can't understand why a Christian should be afraid. I can't understand it. Why a Christian should be afraid? I can't. Either afraid of yourself Or some people even are afraid of themselves. Afraid of devil, afraid of demons, afraid of man. Somebody put gun on your head. Tell him to get away from here. With gun. I can't understand the reason why a Christian should be afraid. But what makes Christians afraid is because they do not have close relationship with God. They serve him from distance. Come on, get closer to him. It is confidence that makes a man not to be afraid. And it is your relationship with God that can bring confidence. Because if, you know, I was a best friend of Prince William, and a policeman just arrested me, and I didn't do anything, and he started molesting me, you know, I won't react the way an ordinary man will react, you know. I'll just say, what you're doing, look at the camera, it's recording you. It's recording you. And I'll say, well, take me to the station. They take me to the station. You have access to one phone call, according to law. I say, yeah. Can you dial the Buckingham Palace for me, please? What? I said, Buckingham Palace. Yes. You Buckingham Palace? Okay, can I have the phone, please? I put it on speakerphone when I ring it. Hello? This is Alfred. Can I speak to William? Who, Alfred? Okay, hold it. They connect him. Maybe while they were connecting him, the queen herself had, it was Alfred. Oh, let me say hi to him. William, come. Hello, Alfred. Yeah? Oh, mom, how are you? This is the queen. I'm sure that the policeman hearing that, he will begin to roast. He will sweat. The sweat will dry up. All right? If I don't even report to him that I'm in the police station, I say, I just want to know how you feel, guys. I'll be with you in an hour. The police is the one who will drive me to the Buckingham Palace. With a plea that, please, I'm so sorry, you know. I didn't know it's you. But what can bring that? Relationship. If I don't have relationship with William and I phone, I say, Alfred, I say, who else is Alfred? Even I won't have the telephone number that can get him. It's not possible. It's not possible. So if you don't have intimate relationship with God, you will be having fear. Unnecessary fear. When angels surround you and they want to act on your command, Satan intimidates you and you cannot speak. You see, I won't tell you the story of Nigeria. One of my days there. Listen to me. You are not ordinary child. Okay? So the Bible says about this guy, Moses. At that time when he was born and he spent 3 months in his father's house, verse 21 says, when he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated. That is where I want to stop today. Moses was educated in all wisdom of Egyptian and was powerful in speech and in action. If you read chapter 3 of Exodus, this Moses stood before God and God said, I'm sending you. And he said, I am Mr. Tamara. And God said that who created your mouth to stammer? It is I. How can God use a stammerer? And God said to a stammerer, he's excellent in speech. Your disability cannot hinder your destiny. You see, don't focus on what you are not able to do. Exploit what you are able to do to the maximum. The reason why people stop at the bus stop and never move on again is because they dwell on what they are not able to do. Oh my God, if I'm able, what about all the things, good things you can do? Face it, man. Face it. Your disability will not hinder your destiny. I love this. The reason why I'm stopping here today is that the Bible says that Moses was educated in all wisdom of the Egyptians. Look, every one of you, I want to tell you this. At this time, your brain is opened. You may not know it. To education. You know how you test it? Read. And you will discover that it's different. Why? Because when the time came for God to fulfill his covenant, all right, the number of Israelites in Egypt rapidly grew. Okay? Then God now gave birth to the child that is not ordinary like you and I. So how can God make him rule in the Egypt, which is the type of world? You remember? Until yesterday. Number one, he has to have the knowledge that the world have. So that the world have nowhere to run. That in whatever you are doing, your career that you are doing, you must know it to the extreme. Whatever you are doing is the knowledge God has given you. If you're a carpenter, you must be such a carpenter that there is nothing wood here. That in your dream, you will do it. And you will do it better than this one they put here. In anything that you are doing, don't sit down and say that I am a professional, I am working. In that profession, they are advancing every day. They are increasing every day. People who will just be trained in that profession will come to your office and they will begin to know things that you don't know. That is insults. Equip yourself with the knowledge of the Egyptians. Listen to me. Understand that this is not just giving me the gift. He had to personally learn it for God's gift in him to manifest. Not only that, he said, the result of that was that he was powerful in speech and in action. If you have knowledge in the area that you are doing, you'll be powerful in speech. You will control that atmosphere. If they have problems, they'll be looking for you in that area. Listen to me. Knowledge is easy now. Google it. You will download many. Every knowledge. You can become a medical doctor without going to medical school. Now, that is, you have the knowledge, though you have certificate too. But if you are going to your doctor and you Google your symptoms, okay, you will find download of answer within few seconds of the diagnosis. So when you get to your doctor and your doctor is talking all the languages he will talk, you can explain to him in his own grammar. Okay? That he'll be saying that you're a medical doctor, you are a Google doctor. Hallelujah! You are a Google doctor. So if he says something different, you can say, what about this? Because you have learned it. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. So whatever God has set you to do in this nation, do it to the extreme. Okay? That will give you excellent speech and control and action. Look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. No wonder. Another child that is not ordinary. It says in verse 17, to those four young men, God gave what? Knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature of the Babylonians. And learning. And Daniel could what? Understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Come on now. I thought the spiritual first. But no, the physical first before spiritual. Is that not interesting to you? Why will God make this order so? Because it is an order that rose in the physical. Okay? It is the order that rose in the physical. If you are talking about the spiritual, then the spiritual first, salvation first, before the physical.
transformation of the body. But when you're talking about the physical, God created it. The order is the physical capture. You capture the world first before your spirit can manifest. You know, one of the days I was thinking that I'm fed up of United Nations, fed up of all this rubbish, all this intellectual nonsense in the world. And I thought, how can we reach these people? You talk to a rich man in Nigeria, he'll be looking at you as if you're not a human being. He'll be thinking that it's because the guy is poor. You talk to some people in England because they have read too much. And they will look at you and they will test you with two reasoning and you cannot cope. So I made up my mind that I will penetrate their midst. In my old age, that's when I woke up. But is there an age that is too old? I read about Kentucky, the man who did Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was a lawyer and he was retired. He was fired, not retired, fired at the age of 60-something, whether 65 or so. Now he can't practice law anymore. He now sat down that, what will I do with my life? He came up with Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, within 1 year, the money he earned is more than the money he earned as a lawyer in America all his life in 1 year. Is sitting down with Christ and deep reasoning, you will transform the whole universe. Someone said to me when I was starting going to school, what are you going to do? Do you think you can cope? How can you ask whether you can cope with what you have not started? Man write it. Man read it. Man pass it. Hello, somebody. I don't care. I can go and list up in university to do medicine now. After all, I heard that now you can do medicine for 3 years in America. Yes. If you have degree in anything, you can do medicine 3 years. Really, my school where I did my law, you know, you can do a marathon medicine from scratch. 3 years. But the 3 years, you have only 2 weeks holiday for 3 years. Hallelujah, somebody. What are you doing with holiday? When your brain is working, what are you looking for holiday for? Eh? Excuse me, somebody. What do you mean by holiday? The Bible says, woe to he that had comfort in Zion. Oh, la la. If they give you holiday 2 weeks, when others are having 3 months, is that not good enough for you? What do you want to do after 2 weeks? If you can have holiday for 2 weeks and not be fed up, something is wrong with you. Can you imagine a man waking up every day and sleeping and waking up and sleeping for 2 weeks? Something is wrong with you. I mean, you will look for something to do. Isn't it? I trust the women. They start work about. Every shop, they'll be knocking their door. They are not shopping, no. Because as a human being, you must engage yourself with an activity. So to go to school for 3 years and have a day to 2 weeks is good. I hope they will do that to all students in England. I didn't hear amen anymore. Especially among the students. Hallelujah. Listen to me. God gave these children outstanding knowledge of all kinds of literature first and then of the spiritual. Finally, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. Let me read from verse 7. It said, that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. This is where we're going to pray. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Sense of great appreciation for what you already are. Not discontented of who you are and what you are, but thanking God for what you are. Whatever. Then he says, now, Lord God, let your promise to who? To Jesus Christ be confirmed in Alfred Williams. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's what is going on here. We have to be thankful for what we are to God now. And then pray to him. Let your covenant with Jesus be confirmed in me. Do you know the result of the prayer? He says, confirm for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Verse 10, he says, give me what? Wisdom and what? Knowledge, that I may lead these people. For who is able to govern these great people of yours? How can we, who is able to conquer Britain? Huh? But somebody can, if God visits you one night, and that's what he will do to you.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
When I pray for you, let your amen sound from your bottom of your heart.
Amen.
Because when I speak, those things will come to pass if you agree.
Amen.
God said to Solomon, today to me, what about you? I can't hear you. Say, God said to Alfred. Listen to what he says to him. He says, since this is your heart, you remember I asked you a question. What can a man do to see God, to operate in power? And some said, prayer, yes. Fasting, yes. Reading the Bible, yes. Seeking the face of God, yes. But there are people who have prayed, they never saw. People have fasted, and they died without seeing anything. People read Bible, they don't have knowledge. So it means that it is not just those things. The Bible says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy place? Those who are pure heart first. And clean hands, especially in these days of strange Christianity. I made up my mind I would not disgrace God. Many people go to church today disgracing God. He says, since this is your heart desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies. I should preach this on television. All the churches that are praying for their enemies to die, God hates them. You didn't pray for the death of your enemies. When God wanted the enemies to be saved, because Jesus died for your enemies. Because somebody is a witch today. If people have prayed that kind of prayer and killed my father, when my father was still a devil worshiper, how will I be a blessing to you today? You don't know how many lives my life have transformed? And somebody used their prayer, my enemy fall down, die. Oshodi Wale Williams fall down, die. Oshodi Wale Williams. What is the difference between them and my father when he wake up in the morning, he will carry some devil, they call it jogo. He will kolo at 5 a.m. calling demons, calling affliction. I am hungry. Use smallpox. Start to strike them. By afternoon, bring them here. Bring them here. And then devils will go out and people will start having smallpox. And they will come all his house. Then he will say to them that, okay, you, he sacrifices 3 chicken, black without spot. You know why they say black without spot? Because they wanted you to have faith. Okay, if they just say any chicken, you will soon say that, no, Satan can't just take any chicken. But if they say black without spot, or they say a white chicken, without any spot, and one black without any spot, then the third one, it can be the one with normal color. Then people will believe that something is. So they will, and he will say to them that he will get 4 gallons of Ororo and 1 black goat. Black goat, I always keep goats for them. Then he will now tell you that you must buy onions and pepper. Common sense didn't tell them that this guy is looking for what he will sit down, eat onion and pepper, everything to make the food. And he can give you 2-3 drums of garri because it has to be complete. So, and he will tell you when he finish. If you bring it, it's your mug. If you don't bring it, it's your mug. He just curses the person. He just curses the person. Ani boru, areloa, boru, areloa. The meaning of it is that if you don't bring it, you die. Because you see, those who go to them are guinea pigs, isn't it? So, by the time they bring it, he will now say to Satan, three cock is here. You don't eat cock. This one, he will slaughter and say, that is for you. Press the blood out, press the blood out to the devil. Say, okay, so that is all right. The body of the cock, it is the man that will eat for the devil. And they are not different from those who pray that their enemies should fall down and die. The same spirit lives inside them. God said to Solomon, because you did not ask for the death of your enemies. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He didn't say, for God so loved the church, his son is for your enemies. Now learn from this. He says, therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be yours. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be yours.
Yeah.
Let me say something to you. I don't vote Brexit because at the time I have a little small knowledge of the fact that a marriage of 40 years and you divorce, you will suffer. Isn't it? As he hit the left, he will hit the right. Really, a friendship of 40 years, and you walk your own way, you will miss something from. I just felt rationally it's not sensible. So I voted in. But now, I can lecture the parliament on Brexit. There is nothing they have to offer that I cannot address. But now that we are Brexited, I will support the Prime Minister to look for solution for United Kingdom. If that's what they chose, we will suffer. So what I'm working on is that we'll suffer here, we'll suffer here, we'll suffer here, we'll suffer here, we'll suffer here. Okay, what can we do here to bring solution? When I get it, I call my members and I said, how many years do you have? Go and do this. Because the suffering that will come will look for you. Here and go. This is the area. We suffer here. This is what you should do. So before May next year, every one of you is positioned. As the suffering comes, you will emerge. If after we have suffered a little while, God said go back to EU, we are still ready. But I won't say that because they Brexited and the Prime Minister said he's going to Brexit is Brexit, because the meaning of that is that Brexit is whatever it becomes. The Prime Minister made his position clear that Brexit is Brexit, which means I don't even know it myself. Do you know it? Tell me. So, well, Brexit is Brexit. It means that when we pull Article 50, the dawn that we wake up the next day into, that is what Brexit is. And if you come and tell her that, but why didn't you? Is I told you, Brexit is just Brexit. We Article 50, okay. We woke up, none of us are in trouble. That is what Brexit is today. So everybody rub your mind, what shall we do? That is Brexit is Brexit. But I, as a child of God, despite the fact that I don't like the decision, I must give my support to whatever situation we are in. Are you with me? I will not follow them carry placard. Because those who sponsor placard carrying, their children are in Trump Tower enjoying themselves.